Sometimes parents hope that their children will just forget about painful experiences they've undergone. But what kids really need is for parents to teach them healthy ways to integrate implicit and explicit memories, turning even painful experiences into sources of power and self-understanding. There's a part of our brain whose very job is to do just that, to integrate our implicit and explicit memories so that we can more fully understand the world and ourselves. It's called the hippocampus, and it can be considered the search engine of memory retrieval. The hippocampus works with different parts of our brain to take all of the images, emotions, and sensations of implicit memory and draw them together so that they can become the assembled pictures that make up our explicit understanding of our past experiences. Think of the hippocampus as a master puzzle assembler that links together the jigsaw pieces of implicit memory. When the images and sensations of experience remain in implicit-only form, when they haven't been integrated by the hippocampus, they exist in isolation from one another as a jumbled mess in our brain. Instead of having a clear and whole picture, a completed jigsaw puzzle, our implicit memories remain scattered puzzle pieces. We therefore lack clarity about our own unfolding narrative, which explicitly defines who we are. What's worse, these implicit-only memories continue to shape the way we look at and interact with our here and now reality. They affect the sense of who we are from moment to moment, all without our even being aware that they are affecting the way we interact with our world. It's crucial, therefore, that we assemble these implicit puzzle pieces into explicit form in order to be able to reflect on their impact on our lives. That's where the hippocampus comes in. By performing the important function of integrating implicit and explicit memories, it allows us to become the active authors of our own life stories. When Tina talked to her son about his fearful associations with swim lessons, she was simply helping his hippocampus do its job. It didn't take much for his implicit memories to become explicit, so that he could handle his fear and make sense of both his painful experience in the past and how it was still affecting him in the present. When we don't offer a place for children to express their feelings and recall what happened after an overwhelming event, their implicit-only memories remain in disintegrated form, leaving the children with no way to make sense of their experience. But when we help our kids integrate their past into their present, they can then make sense of what's going on inside them and gain control over how they think and behave. The more you promote this type of memory integration in your child, the less often you will see irrational responses to what's happening now that are really leftover reactions from the past. We are not saying that memory integration is a parental cure-all that will prevent all outbursts and irrational reactions, but it is a powerful tool for dealing with difficult experiences from the past, and you'll be grateful to know about it the next time your child is struggling for some unknown reason. Granted, when your 5-year-old can't find the taillight to complete Luke Skywalker's Land Cruiser and launches into an out-of-control yelling fit about the stupid Lego store, that may have nothing to do with some sort of George Lucas-inspired implicit memory. In fact, before you overanalyze the situation, halt and check the basics. Is your little Jedi simply H, hungry, A, angry, L, lonely, or T, tired? Halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. If so, these problems can be fixed pretty easily. Get him an apple. Listen to his feelings of frustration. Spend a few minutes being with him, helping him locate the missing piece. Put him to bed earlier so he can catch up on his rest and handle himself better tomorrow. Often kids are doing their best. They just need us to attend to their basic needs. As you learn about the brain and consider all of the information we're offering you here, don't forget about the simple and the obvious, the little things you already know. Common sense can take you a long way. If, though, you determine that something bigger is going on, then it's a good idea to think back to experiences in the past that might be affecting the present situation. You may not always be able to tie your child's reactivity to a specific event in the past, so don't force a connection that's not there. But if you feel that a previous event may be influencing your child's actions, here are some practical ways you can arm him with tools that will help integrate his implicit and explicit memories and achieve more control in the way he responds to his present circumstances.
What you can do. Helping your child integrate implicit and explicit memories. Whole brain strategy number 6. Use the remote of the mind. Replaying memories. Once again, one of the most effective ways to promote integration is to tell stories. In Chapter 2, we talked about the importance of narrative in integrating the left and right hemispheres. Storytelling is also a powerful activity for integrating implicit and explicit memories. But sometimes, if a child is feeling the effects of an especially painful experience from the past, she may not be ready to remember the entire experience. In that case, you can introduce her to the internal DVD player, which comes with a remote control that lets her replay an experience in her mind. It can also pause, rewind, and fast forward. Just like you might fast forward through the scary parts of a movie or rewind to watch your favorite scene again, the remote of the mind is a tool that gives your child some control while revisiting an unpleasant memory. Here's how one father used this technique. David's 10-year-old son Eli surprised him by saying that he didn't want to race a Pinewood Derby car this year with his Cub Scout troop. David was taken aback because one of Eli's highlights every winter was working alongside his dad as they carved, shaped, and painted a block of pinewood until it was transformed into a sports car. After several conversations, David realized that Eli was unwilling to go anywhere near the woodworking tools, especially the ones with blades. From there, it was fairly easy to make the connection between Eli's new phobia and an episode from months earlier. The previous summer, Eli had taken his pocket knife to the park without his parents' permission. He and his friend Ryan had enjoyed cutting and whittling with the knife until an accident occurred. While cutting a root, Ryan had sliced through it and jabbed the knife into his leg, leading to lots of blood and an ambulance ride to the emergency room. A few stitches later, he was fine and didn't even seem too traumatized by the whole event. But Eli was beyond distressed as he waited at his house, wondering whether Ryan was okay. A compassionate, responsible boy, Eli couldn't get over the fact that it was his knife, taken to the park without permission, that had hurt his friend and caused so much trouble. The parents of the two boys got them together that evening and let them talk through what had happened, and both apparently moved on. But now, months later, the memory was clearly working on Eli again, without his knowledge. He apparently had no awareness that he was afraid of the woodworking tools because of what had happened with Ryan and the knife. David decided to help Eli take that implicit memory and make it explicit. He called his son out to the garage where he had his tools set up. As soon as Eli entered the garage and looked at the electric saw, his eyes widened and his dad saw fear on his face. He tried to appear normal as he said, "Dad, I don't want to do the Pinewood Derby this year." David responded in his most nurturing voice, "I know, son, and I also think I know why." He talked to Eli about the connection between the car race and the knife accident, but Eli resisted this explanation. He said, "No, that's not it. I'm just too busy with school right now." But David pressed him, "I know you're busy, but I think there's more to it than that. Let's just talk again about what happened that day at the park." Eli's face again showed fear. "Dad, that was a long time ago. We don't have to talk about it." David reassured him, then he taught him a powerful technique for dealing with painful memories. He told his son, "I'm going to talk through the story, just the way you told it to me last summer. And I want you to imagine the story in your head as if you were watching a DVD inside your brain." Eli interrupted, "Dad, I really don't want to." "I know you don't," David said, "but this is where the good part comes in. I want you to imagine that you are holding a remote control, just like the one we use when we watch movies in the house. And when I get to a part of the story you don't want to think about, you just hit pause. When you say pause, I'll stop. Then we can fast forward past that scene. Can we do that?" Eli said slowly, "Okay," the way kids do when they're responding to a request they think is crazy. David proceeded to tell the story. He told about Eli's arrival at the park, about cutting bark with Ryan, and so on. When he said, "Then Ryan picked up a root and started to cut it," Eli broke in, "Pause." He said it quietly, but with plenty of force. David said, "Okay, now let's fast forward to the hospital. Farther. To Ryan coming home? Farther. To when he came over to our house that evening? Okay." David then narrated the happy reunion between the friends, how they had greeted each other, then disappeared to go play video games. David stressed that Ryan and his parents had emphasized that they weren't upset with Eli and that they viewed the whole episode as an accident. David looked at his son. "So that's the story, right?" "Yep." "Except there's that piece we left out." "I know." "Let's rewind and go back to where we paused and look at what happened. And remember, we've already seen that the story has a happy ending." "Okay." David took Eli through the more painful parts of the narrative, and at times, Eli used his pause button again. Eventually, they made it through the story, and in doing so, Eli began to release his fears associated with knives and cutting. By the time they returned to the happy ending, David could see Eli's muscles relax, and the tension in his voice had dramatically decreased. Over the coming weeks, they had to return to the story and retell it, and Eli still felt somewhat nervous around knives. But with the help of his father, Eli's hippocampus integrated his implicit memories into his explicit awareness. As a result, Eli could now deal with the issues that had resurfaced. He and his dad then built one of their best Pinewood Derby cars ever and named it Fear Factor, writing the name on each side of the car in scary Halloween-style letters. Remember, your goal is to help your kids take the troubling experiences that are impacting them without their knowledge, the scattered puzzle pieces in their mind, and make those experiences explicit so that the whole picture in the puzzle can be seen with clarity and meaning. By introducing them to the remote of the mind, which controls their internal DVD player, you make the storytelling process much less scary because you offer them some control over what they deal with so they can interact with it at their own pace. They can then look at an experience that scared or angered or frustrated them without having to immediately relive it scene for scene.
Whole brain strategy number 7. Remember to remember. Making recollection a part of your family's daily life. The act of remembering comes naturally for most people, but memory is like so many functions of the brain. The more we exercise it, the stronger it becomes. That means that when you give your children lots of practice at remembering, by having them tell and retell their own stories, you improve their ability to integrate implicit and explicit memories. So our second suggestion is simply that you remember to remember. During your various activities, help your kids talk about their experiences, so they can integrate their implicit and explicit memories. This is especially important when it comes to the most important and valuable moments of their lives. The more you can help bring those noteworthy moments into their explicit memory, such as family experiences, important friendships, or rites of passage, then the clearer and more influential those experiences will be. There are plenty